This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can also watch the show this morning on Twitch. Find the page ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. We'll talk to you at 312-332-3776. Lots going on this morning. We have live sports actually taking place this moment. There's German soccer taking place, team sports going head-to-head, which is fantastic that we finally have gotten to a point where there is a weekend where I get in South Korea, they have been playing team sports. Mm-hmm. Their testing has been incredible. If you've read enough stories in the news about the way they've handled it. So we know that that's been out there for the last couple weeks. Now moving across the globe, we get to Germany, where Germany yesterday started the Bundesliga back up, and we had live sports yesterday. Athletics between two teams going at it on a field with an empty stadium. Today, this morning, we're watching a game right now, live from Germany. We saw the MMA last night, weekend number two. It's their third main event that they've put on in the last 2 weeks. So sports now moving in the right direction, and I feel like there's a lot of good ideas now taking place in this country, so then we can get Major League Baseball started this year, the NBA to finish their schedule, and hopefully football in the fall.
Yeah, the main concern with all of this, obviously it's easier in MMA, right? If a player tests positive, if someone in his corner tests positive, you just suspend that fight, and those players or those fighters or those team members quarantine, and then you give them all the medical treatment they need and hopefully they're healthy, and then you move on. What'll be interesting to see is what happens in with the Bundesliga, with the Premier League, with La Liga, with all these team sports that are starting back up, with the KBO. What happens when a player on a team tests positive? Do you just sequester that team member? Do you just sequester that the people that he was close to on the team? Do you, if it's a dugout or if it's a bullpen, is the entire relief, are all the relievers going to have to be quarantined?
Well, okay, so the soccer games that took place yesterday and that we're watching right now from the Bundesliga, do you then have to say if someone in this game test positive in 5 to 7 days?
Yeah.
Do you then have to watch this game and trace who in the game he came in contact with?
No, I think you would just have to because he comes in contact with everybody.
Not necessarily. A defender on one end of the field is never going to come in contact with the goaltender on the other side of the field. So, do you then trace?
But does that defender come into contact with another person who came into contact, who came into contact? You know what I mean?
There comes the issue of how much testing can you do ahead of time to make sure that these individuals kept in a spot where they've been tested enough, where we know they don't have it, and then they stay within their selective group bring in anyone else who may have had an effect on it.
Well, that's my point. So if a batter gets on base and that batter comes into contact with Anthony Rizzo and that batter tests positive, does Anthony Rizzo then have to be quarantined? How does all of this work? And then if there's a tag made by Javi Baez, does that player and Anthony Rizzo and Javi Baez have to be quarantined? All of this stuff needs to be planned out. Do you just quarantine both teams? Do you just, you have to figure all of that stuff out so you don't have a complete stoppage of a league once it gets started, because that's what you don't want to happen. You don't want to have all these stops and starts, and we're done for 2 weeks, and then we're going to try to come back, and we're going to do this. You need a plan for if a player on a team sport tests positive and what you're going to do. Because that it's going to happen. It's a percentage, right? It's a population percentage. If you're working with a certain population and a certain percentage of that population is going to test positive, then you deal with MLB as its own population. And you would think that at some point, someone in Bundesliga or someone in the EPL or someone in the NFL, when it comes back, players will test positive. It happened in the MMA. It's going to happen because you have more players and more of a population in Major League Baseball.
So we're following a bunch of stories this morning here on ESPN 1000. Also yesterday, Michael McCaskey, former Bears chairman, he died at the age of 76. Michael McCaskey, who led the Chicago Bears for nearly three decades following the death of his grandfather, George Halas, died Saturday after a lengthy battle with cancer, the team said. He was 76. The Bears made 12 playoff appearances and captured their lone Super Bowl title during Michael McCaskey's tenure leading the franchise. He was chosen as the NFL Executive of the Year by his peers following the 1985 championship series. He was in charge of the franchise until 2011 when George McCaskey took over the team. So we acknowledge Michael McCaskey and a lot of things that we're following this morning, including that sad day for the Chicago Bears.
Eight playoff seasons, six NFC Central Division titles, Super Bowl champions, obviously, you know, with the 85 Bears, and everything else that Michael McCaskey did for the city, you know, being the director of WTTW, with the Field Museum, with everything he did for the city. Just a great contributor to the game of football, a great contributor to the city of Chicago. And it's obviously a sad day for Bears fans, for the McCaskey family, and for anybody associated or has ever been associated with the team.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So yesterday, sitting in my kitchen, we had the windows open. It was a really nice day yesterday.
Beautiful day. A beautiful day.
Windows are open.
Went for a long walk.
When you live in the city, sometimes this happens frequently. It probably happens up in Lakeview where you live. I live downtown, so it happens quite a bit. You'll hear music in the distance, and you'll say to yourself, something's going on. Right? Like, does that happen up in Lakeview? I feel like that, like, if you live in the suburbs, it's rare that you're going to just hear random music playing that's not, like, one of your next-door neighbors,
Yeah. Listen, we got porch parties everywhere
but, like, sometimes where you're at, you could sometimes hear, when there would be concert series at Wrigley Field, you could hear people practicing.
This past week, the organ was playing at Wrigley. Like, yeah.
You can hear that, right? Yeah. So, yesterday, I'm sitting at the kitchen eating, and all of a sudden, I hear...
So many people are going to be so mad at you right now because I am going to have this in my head for the next decade. For the next decade, for 10 years.
All right, so Baby Shark, right? Yeah. I hear it and I'm like, oh, that's weird. That's not like the normal music that I hear. Like sometimes you hear, like there's a guy in the South Loop who walks around with a little speaker and a microphone and he sings like Sam Smith. He sings his songs.
What does he sound?
No, I'm telling you, man. It sounds like he... You want to try that again?
I broke Tyler.
You want to try that again?
Sam Smith.
So he sounds like Sam Smith. So you hear that sometimes, like, on a nice night, you'll hear him singing somewhere in the South Loop, and you can pick it up out of your window. But yesterday when I heard... I was like, what? Hold on. So I get up, and I walk over to the window, right? And across the street is... a kid's birthday party.
What?
In the parking lot of a building across the street from me. But it's not really. It's like a half parking. It's like the half drive, you know, that you can drive up. And that's where, like, all the Uber guys go.
Yeah. Like a half roundabout.
Right, the half round. But it's a pickup that has speakers.
Oh.
And, like, you know the, like, broke version of Mickey and Minnie? Like, so it's like Michael and Martha Mouse. Like, they're not the real versions of Mickey and Minnie and like
Mike and Mindy Mouse.
Yeah. Like clearly it's not authorized by the Disney Corporation.
Yeah.
And they're standing in the parking lot dancing to, right? And there's kids, lots of kids all over. There's easily 30 kids.
Nope.
And the kids are running up and back and forth to Mickey Mouse and to Minnie Mouse, right? And they're all dancing.
No, thank you.
And the music's playing. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And all the parents are like in the perimeter watching, right? And the kids are running back and forth and intermingling and all this nonsense. And all of a sudden you see, boop, 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 boop.
We got a kids party over here in the South Loop. We got full force there in the kids party.
And so the music ends, right? It just stops. Because I was watching it, and I was like, all right, this is a kid's birthday party. And then I walked away, because I was like, all right, I get it. They're having a little birthday party, a little social distancing. Ah, but you're not really social distancing.
Distancing.
Right? So then I hear the, burp, burp, and I get up, and I walk back to the window. And I'm not kidding you. Broke version of Mickey and Minnie go tearing off. They go running away.
We got a runner, man, in a broke Mickey costume.
They get into their car.
Going to be a SWAT team.
The Mickey and Minnie get into the car, pull out of the little half turn. The pickup truck that had the speakers in it, they fold it up and they try to run away as fast as possible. All the kids go scurrying about back to their parents. And then
5-0, 5-0.
Then a second car pulls up and the police get out and they just stand there. And you can tell that they're like, hey, you can't really do this.
It's like underage kids at a high school party. Run!
But it's the broke Mickey, the broke Minnie running away. And then you get the kids running away. The parents, there's like parents grabbing the kids by the hand and like dragging them as they run away from the party.
Yeah.
And the police are just standing. You know the standard cop stand where you stand there and you have your hand in the vest?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the way that Urlacher would stand on the sidelines where he would hold his shoulder pads.
Like Bane hands.
Like Bane would. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're just, I could see them just standing there. And they're just like, all right. This broke up. We're cool. Like, that's it. Like, they weren't doing anything illegal.
5-0.
So I don't know why the Mickey and Minnie ran away like that. But then, after that took place, I kept thinking to myself, because that damn song, right? It was stuck in my head the entire day. And I know I just did that to all of you listening, right? Like, what is that call when a song gets stuck in your head for the entire day?
It's got a name.
It's like an earworm or something?
Yeah.
Like, what are other earworm songs?
Oh, Chumbawamba. I get
no doubt. Dude.
How did you have that right? How did you have that right? No. Tyler, producing the show today. Tyler, did we talk about this before the show?
No, you did not.
Damn.
To full credit goes to Tyler. That's a 100% A+ producer right there.
Wow.
He's the one that came up with that one.
Wow.
You want to try and go 2 for 2?
Oh man, no. I'm gonna wreck it now. I'm gonna wreck it. Because I have personal ones, but no, I can't think of it. I can't.
So I'll give Tyler
Mambo number five. No.
I'll give Tyler. I'll go second. I'll give Tyler credit for this one because I was thinking it. I didn't tell him to put it in. He put it in. This is the other one.
Oh, yes. Apple 65, yes. My jam. No, this is not my jam.
You are aware that I once did this song as a karaoke song in a bar.
That's awful. Why would you do that to yourself?
People were so annoyed. I sat there on the stage and just said, I'm blue.
You get booed?
Yeah, it's like a 6-minute song. You guys know that, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty long song.
Okay, and then, so 2 for 2 for Tyler. Now, number 3 that he put in here, why would you put this song in? I didn't think of it. Let's just play it.
What era is it from?
2000s?
Era. Your era? Okay.
2010s or 2000s?
So it's Billie Eilish, you youngster.
No, it's 2000s.
I'm kidding.
It's 2000s.
Yeah. Okay. Like, 07.
I wouldn't consider this an earworm song.
Okay.
Because it's a good song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. This takes me back. I don't think I'm ever sober when this song comes on.
You're going to be humming that the rest of the day now.
No, I agree. It's just not one that I would think of at top of mind. But
I suddenly have the craving for rum and diet. Like,
I watered down rum and diet from...
Watered down rum and diet from the
Kirkwood?
Apartment. From the apartment.
Oh.
Oh.
So yeah, Mickey and Minnie go running away after... So if you had to guess, what's the one out of the 3 that we played originally that you think people are going to be annoyed with us about? Because later on this night, tonight, they're going to be thinking about...
Oh, it's going to be... It's going to be Baby Shark. I'm going to have Baby Shark stuck
Baby
in my head.
Baby Shark
because
just
I never listen to Baby Shark because I don't have kids, so I never hear Baby Shark unless it's someone talking about or making fun of Baby Shark. So now it's going to be stuck in my head.
Baby Shark. Mommy Shark.
It's just too much. I like that right there is, you're right. That's why we don't have kids. I mean,
that's why we don't have kids.
To listen to that on loop every single day. We have our Bulls backstory coming up next. 1998, Game 6, NBA Finals. Jordan, his masterpiece. Next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Thanks to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. Xander and Huebner coming up next from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000. Tonight, The Last Dance ends on ESPN television. Here's a montage I made earlier this week of the best moments from The Last Dance.
After the fifth championship, which was 96-97, we were looking at this team and we realized, other than Michael, the rest of the guys were probably at the end of their high productive years. We had to decide whether we keep the team together or not. And we realized maybe this was the time to do a rebuild and not try to win a sixth championship.
I just kept hearing this over and over again, and I was just getting irritated. Like, we were winning.
Jerry Krause, the Bulls general manager, says, quote, "Organizations win titles, not players," end quote. Funny thing, I've never seen him post up and hit a short jump shot.
This quote that was attributed to you.
Well, as you know, David, there was a misquote. What I said was that players and coaches alone don't win championships, that organizations do. I do sincerely believe that organizations as a whole win. One part of it can't win alone. The guy left the word alone out of there.
Right.
And he admitted it later on. Oh, yeah, I left the word out. Well, you dumb s***. That's what you kill the quote.
It sounded like he was making a very specific point to a very specific person.
We know the team is much bigger than the 15 players. Those guys who work in the front office, they were good people. But the most important part of the process is the players. So for him to say that is offensive to the way that I approach the game.
Jordan. He's the best athlete. He's one of the best competitors. He's one of the most skilled players. And that, to me, makes him the best basketball player that I've ever seen play.
Michael played every game as if it was his last. Every single game. There was never a day off. He knew that there was going to be somebody in that crowd that never saw him play before. That's what kept him going. It wasn't like, oh, I went to see this guy play and he only got 12 points. It didn't happen.
My innate personality is to win at all costs. If I have to do it myself, I'm going to do it. Every time I step on that basketball court, my focus is to win a game. It drives me insane when I can't. As you get older, you look back and you understand how you became the person you are. I don't think I would be here without the lessons that I learned at a very young age. That competitiveness within me started when I was a kid.
Michael put on a show.
Our Miller Lite most valuable player of the game is Michael Jordan with an all-time record 63 points in a single playoff game.
We ended up winning the series, but it was an incredible, incredible playoff performance. I've never seen it before. And I had never seen it after. That wasn't Michael Jordan out there. It was God disguised as Michael Jordan.
Up to that time, the franchise, the history of the Bulls was blowing leads. And you're like, oh my God, this is going to happen again. They're going to do this. They're going to blow this. They're going to lose this series to Cleveland.
So game's about to start, and there was two other beat writers. Beat writer from the Sun-Times, Lacey Banks, and Kent McDill from the Herald, and me. And Lacey's picked Cavs to sweep in three. Kent's picked the Cavs to win in four, and I've picked the Cavs to win in five. So, Michael, the game's just about to start. And Michael walks over to Lacey, and he points to him and says, "We took care of you." Then he looks at Kent, and he says, "We took care of you." And he looks at me, and "We take care of you today."
They were two-time champions, but, you know, there certainly has to be some respect.
Straight up bitches. That's what they walked off like. Now, we just kick your ass. Go ahead and go.
during that period of time, that's just not how it was passed. When you lost, you left the floor. How's it?
This is Isaiah, talking about the walk-off.
Well, I know it's all whatever he says now, you know it wasn't his true actions then. You know, it's time enough to think about it. Or the reaction of the public that's kind of changed his perspective of it. Yeah, you can show me anything you want. There's no way you can convince me he was.
Knowing what we know now and the aftermath of what took place, but during that period of time, that's just not how it was passed. Just wasn't. And you can go back and you can look at any of those old games or whatever. When you lost, you left the floor.
All you got to do is you go back to us losing in game 7. I shook everybody's hand. 2 years in a row, we shook their hands when they beat us. There was a certain respect to the game that we paid to them. That's sportsmanship. No matter how much it hurts, and believe me, it hurt, but they didn't have to shake our hands. We knew we whipped their ass already. We gotten past them, and that was the most, that was better than, you know, in some ways winning a championship.
After the season, usually there's a time period where Michael takes some time off. The night they lost to Orlando, I said, Michael, you know, I'm about to get out of here. Let me know when you want me to see you, because I'll see you tomorrow. Michael had an obligation to himself, the fans, his teammates, the organization, his family, everybody. He said, if you're going to sit down and take 3 hours out of your day to watch me on TV, I have an obligation to give you my best. To give you my best all the time.
You're a fan saying, hey, Kobe, you beat Michael one-on-one. I feel like, yo, what you get from me is from him. I don't get 5 championships here without him, because he guided me so much and gave me so much great advice.
Was he a nice guy?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, winning has a price. And leadership has a price. So I pull people along when they didn't want to be pulled. I challenge people when they don't want to be challenged. And I earned that right because my teammates came after me. They didn't endure all the things that I endured.
Michael Jordan is down in pain.
Once you join the team, you live at a certain standard that I played the game. And I wasn't going to take anything less. Now, that means I had to go in there and get in your ass a little bit, and I did that. You ask all my teammates, the one thing about Michael Jordan was he never asked me to do something that he didn't do. People see this and they're gonna say, well, he wasn't really a nice guy. He may have been a tyrant. Oh, well, that's you, because you never wanted anything. I wanted to win, but I wanted them to win and be a part of that as well. I don't have to do this. I'm only doing it because it is who I am. That's how I played the game. That was my mentality. If you don't want to play that way, don't play that way. Break.
The final episodes of The Last Dance tonight, Huebner and Xander next.
Later.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.